Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, we will keep you posted on the rain in Glendale, Cubs.
But it didn't rain in
White
Arizona.
Sox. Yeah, this time of year it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and then, you know, it rains in the summer there, too.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the summer, they call, I think it's monsoon season or whatever they call
monsoon
it.
Monsoon season?
Well, I don't know if it's
Arizona.
Monsoon season. There's a term for it. I forget what they call it.
It's not just the rainy season?
No, they have a term for it. Someone fill me in on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I know we have listeners in Arizona because we've gone there at the end of the summer when it's like 115.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then and it's called something. What was your reaction yesterday?
I was surprised a little bit. I think we had this conversation at the end of the show though about what they were saving their money for, and I think we talked about maybe it was for a trade. Whether it was for a defensive end or whatever the position was, I think what we had discussed was maybe that they were going to make a trade. Have always been a huge Keenan Allen fan. I just like he plays the game with a sense of grace and beauty, in my opinion. It sounds weird. It sounds goofy. But he plays with style. He's a great route runner. He's smooth. He's efficient. There's not a lot of wasted motion. Tremendously productive. Look, I mean, the other issue is he's going to be 32 years of age. This past season, he missed two or three games. It didn't hurt his production. He still had over 100 yards. You're just going to have to prepare yourself that he may have to sit out a game or two with a hammy that's barking a little bit. But I thought also immediately I would be shocked if they didn't sign him to a contract extension, something he's got to agree on, but something that could give them a little bit of salary cap relief early on. But I think this is a win now move. Like, look, we're going to try to do the best thing we can to set up the infrastructure for our young quarterback that we're going to draft. And we're going to hit the ground running, and we expect to be a much better football team this year than last year.
What do you like? Some of the counterpoints to this is, what about going out and signing a pass rusher and not giving up draft compensation? I heard a caller say, what about going out and signing Christian Wilkins and just paying him money? Like he's making, what, $24 million a year?
Yep.
For the life of his contract? Or what about going out and getting Danielle Hunter and then guaranteeing him 2 years at this rate at $24 million a year? And he's, you know, a little younger. What he's playing, what, 31 and 32.
Yeah.
But he's also producing, and you're helping the defense. So, but you're not giving up any draft compensation. It's just money. But I guess you would say that that's not supporting the quarterback.
Yeah. I can understand that. I thought the same thing when I heard this. I was like, well, if you're willing to take on $25 million, which is the hit against the cap. And again, I think that they'll find common ground, getting an extension that brings that number down this year, probably something that compensates him well for a couple of years. And it's an easy out in year three. That's just my projection. But I had the same thought, like, if you're willing to do this, why wouldn't you be willing to spend a little bit extra maybe for a 2-year deal for Danielle Hunter for a position that is also, I don't know, you know, Danielle Hunter had the ability to say no and wanted to go to Houston. I don't think that Keenan Allen is just going to play for free here in Chicago. I mean, the reason why he came to Chicago and was available because the Chargers asked him to take a pay cut and he said no. And I heard what the good kid said, and I agree with him. It's easier to take a pay cut from your new team versus the previous team where you excelled at such a high level. But I think it's a good question.
But it's not a pay cut. Like, there's a difference. Didn't the Chargers ask him to take a pay cut and not
we're going to extend him, right? Right.
Like, what the Bears would do is they would extend him and spread the money out.
Yeah, not necessarily a pay cut, but that's what the Chargers were offering, and he said no. I'm just saying it's easier to take a little bit less if that's what you're asked to do from somebody else versus a team you've spent a ton of time excelling with. I think this is also I think this gives them more flexibility, in my humble opinion, as well in the draft. Like, now you've got a guy, okay, if I can't get one of the first three receivers, I'm not going to move up. I can move down and get a receiver, or I could take a defensive end here, or I could take an offensive tackle. I think they've got a tremendous amount of flexibility. But as I mentioned to the guys earlier, too, that I think, A, this is a win-now decision. And it's also, remember when we talked to Ryan Poles, and Poles was telling us how important it was to create excellent infrastructure for a new quarterback. When we asked him about what was it that you learned in Kansas City about the evaluation process of Patrick Mahomes drafting him and developing him, and he talked a lot about infrastructure. Justin didn't have any of that. Unfortunately, he was dealt a bad hand, as we've talked about a million times. The infrastructure for Caleb Williams, if in fact that's the direction they're going to go, is significantly better than the infrastructure for most first overall draft picks. And it's not just the addition of Keenan Allen. The center they brought in obviously is very aware of what Shane Waldron wants to do offensively. And while he may not be a top, even third, in terms of production, from the procedural basis, he's going to make it easier on a rookie quarterback because he can handle all of the protection sets and all that other stuff. So there's, you know, these pieces kind of come together. It's one thing that Ryan Poles doesn't come out of the gates quick, but every now and again, he's got that closing kick, to use a horse racing phrase.
Yeah.
And at the end of the race, you kind of like where he finished.
Yeah, he's not scared to make that next trade. That's
no.
For sure. Claypool didn't scare him off, and that's what I like about it. What do you think that this is telegraphing a quarterback move? Like there are some who think this is for sure telling you that it's Caleb Williams, because it gives, like you said, about the infrastructure. There are others who believe, oh, this is just loading up more weapons for Justin Fields.
I don't think it's this necessarily telegraphs anything. I look, and again, I may be wrong. I feel strongly that they feel strongly that Caleb Williams is the best decision for them. So I don't necessarily, and if I'm wrong and it's Justin Fields, then guess what? Justin Fields then has the best combo at wide receiver that this franchise probably has ever seen. At the very least, the best since Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. I would say this one would be better.
Sure.
But, you know, and then you bring in Gerald Everett, who is a backup tight end, Cole Kmet. You bring in DeAndre Swift. Now you've got a group inside that offensive huddle that they may not remind you of the Chiefs, but this group is significantly better than anything we've seen in a really long time. So I don't connect those dots saying that this defines that their move's going to be Caleb Williams. It just tells me that whoever's under center, and I believe it will be Williams, that guy's going to have a hell of a lot more at his disposal than Justin did the last couple of years.
The other part of things that happened today is Kenny Pickett was dealt from Pittsburgh to Philly. We were talking to Charles Robinson yesterday, who just wrote a piece. Maybe Justin's a backup in Philly. But now maybe this opens up, because Pittsburgh has always sort of liked Justin. That's at least what some people have reported. Russell Wilson, I believe, is their only quarterback there. He's their only quarterback.
That is true. Yes.
And so if they were having talks, hey, do you want Justin for a second-round pick to be your starter? Now, if they're now shopping Justin for as a backup with Russell Wilson, now are you thinking about, does Pittsburgh reopen conversations with the Bears as a backup quarterback? And maybe, like I suggested to you, hey, could you get a fourth for Justin from Pittsburgh? And then do you look at it as, hey, I just acquired Keenan Allen for Justin Fields, if you get a fourth for Justin from Pittsburgh?
You could connect those dots. You could also, depending on what Pittsburgh does or loses in free agency, think about it. You trade a fourth for Justin. If he leaves via free agency and you just part ways at the end of the season, maybe you get a third and comp pick coming back to you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, so, right.
Like,
right.
There's a way to
recapture. A lot of teams think that.
There's
right.
a way to recapture some of that. And look, Russ is making $1 million, what, two?
Right.
And there's no other quarterbacks on your roster. If the Steelers, I don't know why you would do it, but the Steelers could come in and bring Justin in and could still, you know, absorb his, pick up his fifth-year option and still not have too much money appropriated toward the quarterback position.
Because that's a win-now team, too. Like, yes. Why put all your eggs in the Russell Wilson basket?
Yeah. I mean, especially I believe
when
that
you don't
there
have
is.
To pay him.
Think about it too. Arthur Smith's there, right? Isn't Arthur Smith
yes.
their OC? Like, it would make some sense here that they find a way to get that comp pick. And if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm telling, you know, Mike Tomlin, after looking at what they've done, hey, look, give me a fourth. And if he leaves you at the end of this year, maybe you get a third comp pick. And at the end of the day, you got a backup quarterback and pick up one spot a year later in the draft.
Unless do they now go to Tannehill as their backup with Arthur Smith? Has Tannehill signed somewhere?
And that's the case. You're going to walk away with a competition because I think you had both Russell Wilson and Tannehill going to the Steelers.
I did.
That's crazy.
Because I knew Mason Rudolph and Mitch were leaving, so they had to fill two spots anyway. Tom and Glenn Ellen, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Tommy? Tom, is Tom still there or is he gone?
Tom. He's on the line, but he's not speaking.
What's he doing, Chris?
Tom, you there?
Hello, yes, sir, I am.
There he is.
Oh, boy. We're off to
Tom's
fly.
In the house.
Terrific. Thank you, guys. I wanted to just talk about the whole controversy that nobody ever brings up. A starting quarterback in the NFL is the most complex position in professional sports. When you look at baseball and you got a stud 22-year-old pitcher, everybody's concerned about not ruining his psyche. So you never leave the stud 22-year-old pitcher in the game to get shelled because it'll ruin his confidence. What about keeping Justin Fields?
No.
Understanding that Caleb Williams is your next quarterback. No question. And you play him in the fourth quarter of every won or lost game. So he starts to get used to the speed of the NFL. It's unfair to have a number one draft choice in college that has never experienced the speed. The single difference between the professional and college game, there is an adjustment. Justin Fields has seen that for 3 years and still can't see the open receiver. So we don't feel good about it. And he doesn't have the instincts, the pocket presence. That takes time, but you've got to get used to the speed of the game. After 3 years, time's up. Sorry. But if you draft Caleb Williams, you start Justin Fields because he's not worth but a fifth-round draft choice best option today. And Justin Fields does well, and Caleb Williams managed in the fourth quarter not to destroy his confidence. You play him up to be successful. That's what we didn't do with Trubisky, not that he's a winner. But you started a number one draft choice day one. You ruin his psyche by letting him lose. And you may destroy, just like you do that professional 22-year-old pitcher, if you mishandle him, you could destroy what otherwise would have been a great pitcher.
Is Tom there? I have not. Was Tom there? I never heard Tom's call. Was he not
My
on the
head
air?
Almost exploded.
Yeah, Tom, I never heard to Tom. So we're going to have to move on. I hate that. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense for Justin. So you have deemed that Justin is not your man. You have deemed because no one wants to give you anything for him, and you have deemed he is not your man. Now, as Waddle said, you're in win now mode, and you're going out to get Keenan Allen. So now you're just going to default back to Justin, even though he's not your guy. And then you're only going to play him in blowouts of either direction. Like, in my opinion, a lot of guys have sat yes, but a lot of guys have played. And the only way you truly get used to the speed of the game is by playing in that speed of the game. What do you think?
I agree with that. I think guys are more equipped now to start in this game more so than they were in years gone by. And I think that even with that said, I think it's a case-by-case situation. I had a lot of people tell me, the people I trust implicitly, that said that coming out of Ohio State, everyone was very confident that you know, Justin was up to the task, and that, you know, everyone loved his tangibles and intangibles, but it was going to take him a little while to get adjusted to the NFL game, because the difference between what Ohio State was doing and what happens in the NFL on a consistent basis is significantly different. I don't know, people are probably tired of hearing me say this, but like at Ohio State, I got Chris Olave, I got, you know, I got Jackson Smith and Jigba, and I got the kid that's running wild, Garrett Wilson, in New York as well. And you're running against the Indiana secondary, and at some point that post-dig combo is going to open up, and you've had 5 seconds to deliver the ball, and it just doesn't happen that way in the NFL. Sometimes you had to read the field short to long instead of long to short, and I think that there were people out there that said, look, it's going to take him a little bit of time to get rewired and get used to the game in the NFL being worked differently. So I think that, you know, and there were a lot of people that wanted him to start right away instead of Andy Dalton, and I'm hearing people from Ohio State and other places say, you know what, just be patient. It'll take a little bit of time. But I think other guys are more equipped to do it sooner rather than later. So I think it's case by case, but I think it's certainly in today's game, it's much more likely that you're going to have to play these guys early, and even if that means the opening game of the season.
Q on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Q?
What's going on, Waldo? What's going on, guys?
What's up,
everything's
Q?
Good. Yeah, I just want to know, is there any way that we can move up from the number 9 to the 3 spot and get Marvin Harris?
Boy, you want to give away. So now all the picks are gone.
Well, what if maybe if the Patriots maybe take if we give them our next year first round and the number 9th pick, maybe like I said, they'll take it like that. Because if we as good as we think we might be next year, our number 1 pick could be a lower pick, because we'll be a better team.
Q, let me ask you a question. Who's your favorite current receiver in the National Football League?
Oh, man.
There's a lot to choose from because there are a lot of really good players. It's just like one that comes to mind.
I know my favorite receiver right now. It's
Justin
Chase
Jefferson?
From the Bengals.
Oh, Jamar Chase?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he was drafted up high, so this isn't going to work for me. But good one.
Spoiled
good one,
game.
Q. You got me. My point I was going to make is, like, Justin Jefferson was picked, what, 20, 17, 18, 19, 20. Devontae Adams, who's one of my favorite receivers in the last 10 years, was a second-round pick. The only thing I'm saying to you is I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is a fabulous player, but you can find receivers that are really good and difference makers without having to give up all of your draft currency to move up and get them. It's just not something I would do.
That's true. Well, that's what I was talking about. That's the reason why I don't condone losing, but that's the reason why I hated them winning them games, because them winning them games, it really didn't matter to us, because even if we won the game, we still wouldn't be able to make it to the playoff. But if we would have probably locked those games out, we would have had the 1 and 2 picks.
All right, Q, we got to go. We got baseball. Thank you.
Yeah,
we got to go. Yeah. Well, we may be back. Who knows if there's going to be another delay.
For the time being, we're yes. going to baseball.
All right. Thank you, guys. Black and Abdallah, thank you. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. White Sox baseball coming up next. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.